Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
With Drew Marshall Show.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. It's a very special month. I like to turn Valentine's Day into a month because the subject of love perplexes me. So I'm trying to learn as much as possible from really smart people, and the only way that those smart people will talk to me is if I have a radio show. Thankfully, I do. Tim, where are my papers? Why don't I have my papers?
I don't know.
What'd you do? Oh, they're right here. Oh, it's such a fun little thing. I wanted to say to your parents...
Sorry, I didn't get a chance to play Bulldog first.
I wanted to say to your parents, and I said this to you on the phone, Mrs. Miller, I want you to know that when I get angry with your son and make fun of him and that kind of a thing... It's a shtick. It is total shtick. And I told you that right from the beginning. I said, if you're going to hang around the show, we should turn this into a bit of a shtick, you know? There was a broadcaster in Northern Ireland that I heard, Jerry...
Maguire.
No, Jerry, what was his name? Jerry
Something Irish.
Jerry Anderson.
There we go.
And he had this routine, and they had this sort of relationship with his engineer, and it was just hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, I'm copying somebody else. Anyway, where was I? Oh, the secret to love. During Love Month, I am going to be interviewing married couples who've been together for 50-plus years and asking them what's their secret. Today's lovebirds, Dr. Jim and Jane Miller. They were married in June of 1965. That means they've been married for 54 years. They have two sons, and one of them...
They like.
Is a jerk.
They always love their dogs more, but that's okay.
I know. Jane, is it not true that this is the first time you've kind of been doing life without a dog?
That's right. We had Great Danes for 45 years, and we just lost our last one in November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's icky. I know it is. My dog shot away last... I shouldn't say shot, should I?
No.
Took off last night into the bush and across the fields, and he was gone for a couple of hours.
That's scary.
And,
stuff.
Oh, I was beside my... I literally was not doing well over the whole thing. He eventually came back, but wow.
Well, we have coyotes in the park behind us.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what kind of triggered me was I heard the coyotes going off that as well at the same time. Anyway, let's not talk about that.
No.
I have proof that these folks have been married 54 years because I have pictures that have no color in them. With two cuties.
Cute.
Stop it. Ooh, look at that. Just making out here and everything.
What kind of...
Tim, have you ever seen your parents kiss?
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
I walked in on them once.
No, come on. We don't want to hear from them.
When they were kissing. I don't know what you're talking
okay.
about.
What's wrong with your son?
I want a sister.
He embarrasses every chance he can get.
Well, let's bring everyone up to speed on where things are at these days. Dr. Jim Miller earned the term doctor because... He studied a whole bunch and then became, come up nice and close to the mic, young man. We'll roll you up a little closer. One, two, three. Yeah, there we go. Family doctor? Was it GP? What was it?
Family doc.
Family doctor. How many years? Can you remember?
So we started our practice in 64, 65.
Wow.
And retired in 2005.
Right. And what's with the stick you're walking around with?
My cane.
Oh, sorry. Yes, a cane. Yeah.
That gets me from point A to point B.
Uh-huh. Why do you use it?
I like the prestige it gives me.
He's not having any of it,
no,
is he?
No, no.
Oh, I like the prestige it gives me. Oh, dude, you grew up in a funny family, man.
Oh, yeah.
Funny family.
We were raised by Monty Python.
Yeah. I use a cane because I have Parkinson's, and it gives me my balance.
Right.
You have Parkinson's disease, you're always falling.
Right, right. How long ago did you get that diagnosis?
2013.
Yeah. And are you surprised with the progress that Parkinson's has made, or has it been faster or slower than what you thought?
It varies a lot.
Some days it takes you out, and some days you're okay. Yeah, yeah.
My biggest issue is I don't sleep well. Parkinson patients have difficulty getting to sleep, staying asleep, and I'm all those.
Geez, maybe I have that.
Yes.
I can't do any of those things.
Well, get a cane for prestige.
Who is the who was the person that told you you had Parkinson's?
Neurologist, okay. Dr. Steve McKenzie.
Did you already know?
No.
Well, you're a doctor. You're supposed to know this stuff.
Parkinson's disease has many, many faces.
Okay.
You and I could have Parkinson's and we could all have different symptoms.
Wow, really?
It's a hard disease to diagnose. Once it's established, a typical pill-rolling tremor is common, but not that common in all. You had 20 patients with Parkinson's, maybe two or three might have a tremor.
Are you angry?
Yes, and frustrated.
Frustrating. Yeah.
I can't travel safely now. I can't. We had plans to go to a lot of places. Now I can't get insurance to travel.
So you could travel, but if anything happened.
Yeah. Europe is a long distance away.
Sure it is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about what people think when it comes to people being, well, this is not very well said. Let me try this again. When people imagine couples who have been married 50 plus years, they think about the years of, you know, the golden sunset and doing all these things together and, right, all this, and you've just been ripped off of that.
Yes, but I've still got my gold mine. My wife.
Oh.
Oh. Nice. I thought you said cold mind.
Sometimes she's cold.
Either work.
Sometimes she's cold. Jane, what about you? I mean, you're the one now saddled with a new responsibility.
I'm the one that's angry.
Yeah.
I've been in the angry stage of grief for almost as long as his diagnosis. It kind of wrecked our plans.
Yeah.
For 50 years, I kind of waited for him to retire because medicine's a good mistress, like a demanding mistress. Mm-hmm. So we didn't take a lot of long holidays when he was working, and we were saving it all up for his retirement. And kaboom.
Yeah.
So I've had that trouble with, I've had the anger feeling. He says he's frustrated more than angry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's also the difference between you two. Those are very much your personalities as well.
Yeah, I'm a kaboom kind of
person. Well, you're half full. You're half empty. Dad's half full. Like, I'm half empty, and Mike's more, my brother's is more half full. So those are very indicative of your responses completely. Not that I'm judging, I'm just that
makes
total sense.
Who knew you guys
sense.
Raised Dr. Phil? That's amazing.
Well, I got the haircut for it.
Oh, dear.
How did you do it? 50 years. How did you do it? 54 years.
Yes.
Well,
can we start from the beginning?
Yeah, we will start from the beginning. Well, you know, we're only children, and which is different. You know, we don't have much family support. But when we got married, he was really busy interning. And because when you're an only child, you don't have to think about
sharing.
That's right. That was the first year was the hardest year. We had to learn to share.
So you were both selfish jerks.
Yeah. No, just him.
No. Ooh, cold mind.
But it was quite an adjustment for us both.
Yeah.
But he was interning that year, so he wasn't around a lot anyway. So we kind of eased on in.
Who made the first move?
I did.
You made the first move?
I had just broken up with my girlfriend, who was a minister's daughter.
You dumped a minister's daughter?
Nice going, buddy.
Gently.
Hold on. How did you do it? Did you say, you know, I feel that the Lord doesn't, I don't know, did you use God in your...
I said, God damn it, we're going to make some changes.
Okay.
Oh, Daddy.
Yes.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Her girlfriend had broken up as well, so she said, I've got a guy that just broke up with his girlfriend. Would you be interested in meeting him? So we got together and decided, how can we meet safely?
Yeah, safely.
So we said, let's go to play tennis.
That's safe.
At the church.
Yeah.
So we would play tennis, and the score at the end of the day was love all.
Oh. You know, I just had like a mini vomit right there. Just
small
a
one.
Little bit of a... Wow. So your first date was tennis? Is that a true story?
That's true, and it's about the only time we played, because I'm not particularly coordinated or athletic.
Okay. That's where I get it from.
Yeah.
Right.
However.
Do you remember mushy stuff, like the first kiss or the first, I don't know, whatever?
One of our first dates, he phoned and said, Friday night... there's always a big dance at Casa Loma, so get dressed up, and we'll go. So I was all gussied up, and off we went to Casa Loma, and, you know, there was lots of parking there, and nobody particularly at the door. It turns out the big dance was Saturday night, and
wow.
It was Friday night.
You are smooth.
And I suggested trying to go to a drive-in.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Go watch the submarine races?
Yeah.
No.
And?
And I said, I don't do drive-ins on the first date.
Good for you.
Mama.
You go, girl.
So it ended up being a really interesting evening because... he knew a fellow in the control tower at what was Malton Airport then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so we drove out there. I went home and changed out of my gussy dress. And
Did you go too, Jim?
No. I was not. She didn't undress in front of me.
No. Yeah, okay. She still doesn't.
Jimmy.
Anyway, we went up. We drove up to... what was then Malton Airport, this was 5 years before we got married.
Yeah.
So what was that, 1960? Okay, so Malton wasn't a really big place. So he went and knocked on the door of the control tower and asked so-and-so there, whatever the fellow's name was, oh, yeah, come on up. So that was our evening date, our first date.
Wow.
Watching the air controllers working. It was really interesting.
That's unique. Yeah.
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 So
I remember taking someone to an embalming one time.
Okay. That would be exciting.
Yeah.
I used to go out with a fellow learning how to be an undertaker, and my mom used to laugh all the time because he'd always bring me flowers.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, it never dawned on me where he got them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had an unlimited supply of flowers. Yeah. I just had to make sure the rest in peace signs were taken off. You know? Just I didn't want to get busted that way. Tell me about... Well, hold on. I want to go back to the question, because the main question is, how did you do it? Like, how did it last? What's the secret to lasting 50 years? You know that marriages, typically, these days, are not lasting.
Yeah.
More and more. And you're both only children... So you come into this relationship with a little bit of selfishness. Fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
And I keep hearing in relationship stuff the word compromise. Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been tough for both of you. Only children are not great at compromise. Or am I just, am I wrong?
I think we learned how to do that.
Yeah.
Like my clothes were in this cupboard and his were in this cupboard.
Right.
Et cetera. So, yeah, the whole attitude was different in 1965 than it is now.
Sure, it was hippie free love stuff.
Well, no, that
there were children of the 50s.
That was before. I mean, the pill was just being invented, so you just kept your
legs shut.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How you doing, Tim? So anyway, a therapist in the house?
Yeah.
Anyway, we managed to. I think our first year was the worst. He was interning, and it annoyed me when student nurses would call him at home. But anyway, we survived the first year.
No, this is where I want you to tell the story of the one time.
At band camp. You hit him? Okay, your mother just looked at you with a scowl.
No, this is classic. This is one of the, I've got Hold three on, reasons give, why give my
your,
parents
give your parents some slack. Do they want to share this?
Oh my! This is sorry, but she has to because it's one of my all-time favorite stories.
No, she doesn't ever. Have to do anything. Do you want to share this awesome. Or not? You do. I can see it in your face. You totally yeah. do.
I don't feel I have a choice. No. Okay. At the end
notice
of
notice that no one asked you, Jim.
No.
No.
I make the final word.
Okay. At the end of the year and. Like the interns and nursing were years ending in June. So after he'd been at the hospital for a year, he met this nurse and she phoned him out of the blue and said, "Would you do a speech at my wedding?" And it really ticked me off because he didn't know her that long and he was so naive.
Wait, am I naive too? I thought that would be an honor to speak at someone's wedding for someone to ask. No?
Well, you know.
Oh, she had a different.
It was a really. Plan? Well, who knows? Yeah.
So you hit her?
So anyway, we were getting ready for the wedding and I was really ticked. We went to the wedding and it was only 2 blocks from the apartment where we lived. So we walked home and I got so mad. I just went.
And you punched your husband.
And he.
Where?
In the face.
You punched him in the face?
And so the embarrassing part was we had to go to Emerge and have his partner sew him up. and we had to give a white lie about what happened. I think he said he was pulling a nail out of a
picture. Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
And went boom.
Yeah. I've used that before.
Okay. Well, there you go. So that I guess that was the worst day of that first year.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to ask, did you ever have any knockdown, drag them out fights? Did you have any times where it was close to ending? Did you have any times where you didn't speak to each other? Let's talk about the darkness here a little bit because right now you sound like you're a married couple from a Disney movie. Except for the violence.
The violence dies out of Disney.
Jim, were there any tough times?
Yeah. One tough time, Tim had gotten quite sick. He had been playing football in grade 10 or 11.
It's grade 12.
12. Mm. And it was symptoms of neurology, mm-hmm. weakness. So we feared he had something going on bad in his head. He had been playing football that day, and we wondered if she had going for a concussion. Fortunately, the CAT scan proved no serious bleed, but he had bled into the brain. But the neurologist said that no surgery is necessary. He recovered fully from that, and 3 months after the initial episode, he had a repeat scan, and it was down to about 20% of its original size. Hmm. So he recovered fully from that.
But that was a scary week because they only had two scanning machines in Ontario at that time. And that was when our faith was really tested. And the doors opened for us. They phoned to say they had a cancellation down at Princess Margaret, which is one of the places where they had this technology. And our minister drove us down. And Tim had a scan. And he knew that someone, one of the docs that was at Mississauga, also was at Western. And so he took the scan and went over to the Western, just found this guy, just hunted him down and said, "Here, look at this."
Yeah.
And he was able to say it wasn't a brain tumor, it wasn't a it was sort of a hemorrhage, but it was something that was resolved. But that happened to be the day when St. Luke is celebrated. It was in October, and it was the Feast of St. Luke that day, and he's the patron of physicians. Hmm. And that all just came together For me, anyway.
I know it's tough on both of them. I mean, I was the person who was going through it, but I know it definitely challenged all of us, mostly them. But, you know, for me, I can tell you, to me, there's three, I've been thinking about this a lot. There's three things that, for me, I in many ways, try to model my relationship with my wife, Pam, after them. And one is...
Has she punched you in the face
yet? No, not yet, but she... I've had a few shoulder punches.
Yeah. I had blocked that out, you know.
No, you can't.
You know, no. is their sense of humor with each other, mm-hmm. Which allows them to cut each other slack. taking my mom's example to a slightly lesser extent, their honesty with each other. They're upfront with each other. They're not passive aggressive. They're very open.
No games.
Nope. And you know, biblical here, but still a great philosophy is my mom and dad never let the sun set on an argument. It used to drive me nuts.
It is.
My brother and I would hate it. They would fight and they would, you know, have heated discussions. But they resolved it. They made every effort to resolve it.
So your brother and you hated that?
You don't like your parents arguing.
Oh, I thought you meant the resolving
screaming.
Stuff.
No,
right?
No. If I know and I got toys at it, I would have pushed it. No, but they made conscious effort to make sure it got resolved and didn't get brushed under the carpet.
Who came the closest to saying, I don't want to be married anymore? Who do you think?
Were you ever that point?
I don't think so. I think I was annoyed when you left the hospital where you interned and they had a party and no wives were invited. That was the maddest I ever got.
Jim, tell us about that party. Tell us what happened at that party. We would like to know all the details about that party.
Was that the party where you woke up the next morning? This is bus under the bus time with
Wow.
Jim Miller.
Good thing you retired, eh? Don't need your patience here.
Oh, my parents have some great stories.
Here's what I'm getting from you guys. Yeah. I don't really know you, but it seems like Tim said, you're both pretty honest with each other. There's no games. You allow each other to express your bugness. If you're bugged, right? You get bugged. Okay, boom, there it is. I kind of get the feeling you get bugged more than he gets bugged. Mother, is that true?
Because I'm emotional, not intellectual.
Okay.
So that's the plane I'm on.
Right. So he's intellectual and has no emotions.
Wrong. Anyway.
When did you ever feel the need to reach out for help? Because they say, you know, one of the secrets to marriage surviving is talking about stuff. But did you guys just talk about it amongst yourselves, or did you reach out and talk to other people? Jim?
One of my mottos was never go to bed angry.
So you talked about it amongst yourself?
Yeah,
amongst yourselves. Right.
The only time that I've sought out help was in the last year, mm-hmm. for my anger management, I guess.
Sure.
You could call it.
Yeah. Because you were ready to retire with the love of your life and do a little traveling, enjoy the world.
Spend my inheritance, as they said.
Spend Tim's inheritance. He doesn't even know how to spell that word, so don't worry about it.
S-P-N-D.
and then bang, life didn't go that way. Right. And man, I can just, yeah. It's so unfair. Can we use the word unfair? It seems so unfair.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I have felt.
Especially, like, my thinking is, if you can be married for as long as you guys have, good night. Could God not reward you for that?
You know, after he was a really good GP. I mean, we still have people that meet us in the neighborhood and talk about when he was their doctor. Mm-hmm. And yes, I think that's very unfair that this happened after his career helping people.
Yeah, that's the other factor. Spend a life helping others, and then boom. Ugh. So, okay, let's before we get to the advice part, by the way, that's why you're here, you know.
I didn't know that.
We need some advice. The whole world needs to hear more from people who've been married 50 years, let me tell you. The Millers are here in the studio. They were married in June of 1965, and the only other love that Jane Miller had, other than Dr. Jim Miller, her dear and doting husband, was Elvis.
Oh.
True story?
That was
come,
true.
Come to the mic. You're getting all shy now. Did you fall in love with Elvis? Did you ever throw your underwear up on stage, that kind of stuff?
No.
She was too far from the stage.
We were in the last row.
You went and saw, where did you see him?
Maple Leaf Gardens when I was in grade 9, so that would be 1956.
Were you a woohoo girl?
I couldn't talk for a week.
Oh, because of screaming? It's like Tim at the hockey game.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, I came home with my Elvis pin, and then I couldn't talk for the next few days, and some of the teachers laughed at me at school.
That's funny.
Your mom and dad were happy.
What do you say? What do you say to the people out there who are tired? They're just relationally tired. It's exhausting being married for many, 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 many people. And you guys lasted 54 years, and there were still times it was exhausting. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a cakewalk the entire time. So what do you say to people? Jim, what do you say? People out there that are just like, I don't think I can do this anymore.
When was the last time you spoke to your wife? When was the last time you told her, I love you? Talk to your wife, vice versa.
So communication.
Yeah, very much.
Is it as simple as that?
No.
No.
There'd be a lot of marriages saved if people had a simple technique of, hon, let's go down for a walk and talk.
Let's go for a walk and talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that puts you further behind in the office schedule.
I don't have time to walk and talk. Right? That's what the answer is.
And the people jokingly say, you can tell Dr. Miller's patients they all have books.
Why?
They read waiting for me to see them.
Because you take so long?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had a doctor like that. But when you were with him, nothing else mattered. This doctor was, he made you feel like the most important person in the universe. But you waited.
Yeah, that was my dad.
Yeah?
Yeah, to a patient, they'll say that.
Yeah. Did you ever have times where you thought to yourself, Dr. Jim, Mr. All Your Patients Love You guy, it's nice that your patients love you, but does your wife? Maybe you should be paying a little more attention to your wife. Did you ever have those moments?
Oh, yeah. The doctor's hours. Doctor's schedule. What did you call it?
Our kids used to call it doctor's standard time.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would phone up and say, I'm coming home in 10 minutes.
And it'd be an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not cool.
But they still kept on coming.
Yeah.
They appreciated the time and the effort.
Yeah.
You mean your patients did.
Yeah, we're talking about your marriage.
No.
All right, so communication is key. Investing as far as time. Let's go for a talk and a walk. I love that. Let's go for a talk and a walk. What about you, mother? I like calling you mother. I don't have a mother, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you could be my bad child.
That's on record.
Did you just...
Yeah, you're the bad kid. You're the bad kid.
Let's talk about Tim when he was 2 years old. Let's talk about Beelzebub
My bust, under the bust time.
No, seriously, what's your advice to the couples out there that are struggling? I mean, is it as simple as don't quit, talk, go for a walk and a talk? I mean, what's...
I think that's a good start. I guess we've never had this problem. I mean, of course we've had fights and stuff, but we always make up. I guess it's a good thing to have a dog because you can take the dog for a walk, too.
Yep.
And then you don't punch him out.
Yeah. Wait, you didn't punch the dog, did
you? No. I would never do that.
Okay. I'd punch my husband, but not my dog. Right. I got that clear. I got that. Yeah.
Like, they didn't have the problems, and I think it was... You know, you can.
So they lasted 50 plus years because they didn't really have any problems.
No. They prevented fires rather than running around putting them out.
Ooh, that's good. He's smart.
Yeah, takes after me.
Wow, geez.
The emotional part.
The emotional part, right?
Yeah. When was the last time you made out? When was the last time you pitched?
Oh,
woo?
The volume's going down on this conversation.
Jim's loving this question. He's chuckling now.
Should I put on the Barry White?
That's beyond the pale. Thank you.
You watch out. You'll get a split lip.
Can you stop banging the console, please?
I'll clap my hands quietly.
Oh, my goodness.
Golf clap.
I'm so enthralled with couples that last. It is a beautiful, mysterious, and rare thing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you don't see that. A beautiful, mysterious, and rare thing.
I guess our parents were good examples.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, Jim's dad died, I guess, after they'd been married for about 28, 29 years. Mm-hmm. But my parents were married.
60-something, wasn't it?
About 60 years, yeah.
60 years.
Yeah.
By the way, if anyone's listening out there and you know of somebody who's been married 50-plus years, we have one more spot in our February shows.
Oh, my goodness.
That we would like to invite someone to come and talk. And if they've been married 60 years and they can still talk, we'd like to have them on the show.
I remember my mom's parents, my grandma and grandpa Addleton, weren't demonstrative in a overt way, but they were snuggly. They were cuddly. They would hold hands. And right to the very end. And that was always that's cool.
We joke around a lot, awful lot. And it's pretty rare, the things that are earnest that comes out of my yap. But, dude, you have been royally blessed.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I said at the start, there's three things that I take and I apply to my own marriage because of these two here.
Mm-hmm.
No question. And they're foundational. It's interesting because the thing about never letting the sun set in an argument was actually a challenge for my wife initially, because her family brushed everything under the carpet. And I remember the first time we had a heated discussion, I thought we had wound it up. I went to the bathroom. I went to change or something like that. I came back out and she had disappeared. And because she couldn't handle it. She didn't understand. She didn't know, because no one ever did that in her family.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us a while to sort of figure that out between ourselves. But because of that, we have never let the sun set on an argument. And it's true. Like my dad said, don't go to bed. Well, I don't think sometimes you can't go to bed angry. You might go to bed angry, but we got it out. We resolved it on some level. We had to still deal with the fallout. But yeah, if I had to pick one thing, that would be it. The sunset argument. Mm. For sure. And I got their good looks, too, which is nice.
Easy.
Yeah.
Now
thanks for laughing,
laugh.
Rachel.
Yeah, everyone laughed. The whole room laughed in that one.
Loser!
Let me finish with this. I want to get to the love story here for a second. Jim, did you when you proposed, is it a good story, or am I going to throw you on the bus if I ask you about how you proposed? Like, did you go to Burger King and say, so you want to get married? Like, you know, was it lame like that?
No, we went down to, I'm a scuba diver.
Okay.
So we went down to the Argonaut Rowing Club to watch the submarine races.
Ooh. Okay.
Papa.
Look at the smile on his face. And is that where you proposed?
Yeah.
And were you surprised, Mother?
No, I knew there was a ring in the offing, and it was my 21st birthday. So he took me out for a really nice dinner, and then we went to watch the submarine races. And that's when I got my ring, right?
Wow. Who's the better kisser?
The dog. Actually, I did another
foot. I think we're a tie.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Sort of part of the proposal thing. In the old days, you used to ask permission for the wife's hand. What, you have a funny story about that, right? Asking father, Grandpa Addleton, about that, right?
Did you ask her dad for permission?
Yeah.
You know the mics are on, eh? So if you whisper, we can still hear you. I don't know if you...
my dad, you came over especially to my house to ask my father for my hand. And he was in the bathtub.
Wow, that's bold. That was a smooth move. You went right up to the bathtub?
No, I think you had to wait.
Oh, you had to wait, okay. That must have been a draining experience.
Oh. Oh,
I held the toe.
Oh, so good.
Pops.
So good. All right, well, listen, thank you very, very much. Again, February is Love Month on the Drew Marshall Show. Ooh, it just sounds... And so I wanted to interview couples who've been married for 50 years. We have another couple next week who've been married just 50 years. and they have a very, very fascinating story. You actually know them.
Oh.
Jack and Shirley Kerbin.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Love those two as well.
So they'll be on the show next week. Dr. Jane and... Dr. Jane. Let's do that anyway.
Sure.
Dr. Jane and her pathetic little husband, Jim, who has never studied a book in his life. Oh, boy. Dr. Jim and Jane Miller were married in June of 1965, 54 years. You have two sons, and of course, one of them is our very good friend, Tim the Tool, who is my little buddy. My little buddy.
I just want my dad to know that I'm playing a song for him now. It's Neil Diamond.
Oh, okay.
He can't hear it, but I just, you know, okay. Fair play.
Each of the four couples we will be interviewing this month will have their name drawn from a hat and could win a one-night stay in a fireplace suite with a king-size bed at Tim's place. No, at Madison Manor Boutique Hotel. MadisonManorBoutiqueHotel.com in Toronto. That includes a $25 gift card for the bar, which, you know, if you were a real Christian, you would give to me. Or they might win a love basket from Gideo, Gideo.com, with handcrafted dark chocolate and massage butter. Ooh. Oh, your mother. She just did some kind of bewitched shake and shimmy there.
It was
like the genie out of the bottle. All right, listen, we don't have a commercial break.
I know, it was for my dad. It's the music.
Oh, you're just playing music for your dad that he can't hear because he doesn't have the headphones on.
But that's why I said something.
Yeah, I just have the last word.
Oh, I would expect nothing less.
God's always been part of our marriage.
Oh, way to throw in the God card at the end.
Wow, there you go.
Man.
Nice. What does that mean? Do you go to church all the time? Do you wake up and have devotions first thing in the morning and spend a couple of hours on your knees praying to Jesus every day? Or like,
I'm not a morning person. but yeah, we attend church just about every week. I'm really involved in some of the parish stuff.
Yeah.
Jim has done things too, but he's not able to do so much anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've both been part of St. Hilary's Parish in Mississauga for 51 years.
Wow. Good for you guys. No, I was joking about, I certainly was joking about that. I do know someone who is considering getting back together again with the ex, and they've said, you know, it's not going to work unless there's a God component. There has to be some kind of spiritual connection there. Mm-hmm. What do I know? All right, we just have to talk to somebody who's on the phone right now. Can you guys just not go anywhere?
Sure.
I feel very comfortable sitting beside you, Dr. Jim.
You have to take your clothes off.
He brought gloves and everything.
Oh, my goodness. Turnikoff.